Let me pray for today's message. Lord, thank you for the time of worship that we have had. We pray, God, that you'd bless our time as we look at your word. Use it to encourage us and to edify us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My grandfather lived to a very old age. He was 96 years old when he died. And get this, he didn't like vegetables. He loved eating ice cream. He loved eating potato chips. Isn't this a message of encouragement for those of us that don't like health food? He didn't like eating vegetables. In fact, he loved his ice cream. He loved his potato chips so much. In fact, this sounds disgusting to me, and I'm not recommending this, and I know that this does not sound healthy, but he loved his potato chips so much, what he would do, and he loved butter. He would actually butter his potato chips and eat them. Not the healthiest. But he lived to an old age. He died at the age of 96 years old. Today, I want to talk to you about someone that died at a very old age, and his name was Noah. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and right in front of you, in the section you're sitting in, you'll see some chair Bibles directly in front of you. So in your chair Bibles, I'm going to be speaking from page 5. So Genesis chapter 6, page 5 of your chair Bibles. And what we're going to read about in this passage is a man by the name of Noah. And he's married, and he has three sons, and his three sons, they're married as well. Now, when his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, when they got on the school bus in the morning, never once did Noah ever say to his wife, "The world is getting better and better morally and spiritually." He never once said it. He was living in a very wicked, wicked world, and it was continuing to go downhill morally and spiritually. And you may be saying to yourself, "Well, Jeff, that sounds a lot like the world we're living in today. In all of my years growing up, I've never once heard anyone ever say to me, 'You know what, Jeff? I believe that the world is getting better and better morally and spiritually.'" I've never once heard it. But think about all of the TV shows and the movies that are out there today. What's happening in the world? It's getting worse and worse and worse. We're seeing a spiritual and moral decline, and it's a challenge to us as Christians. How must I live in this wicked world? And it's a question you need to ask and answer for yourself in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in the midst of your family. Maybe you're trying to live for Christ in your family and no one else is. It's a very relevant and very applicational passage of scripture. And throughout the message, I want to encourage all of us to live by faith. And just think about this in the privacy of your heart, in privacy of your seat. How are you living today in this wicked world with some of the challenges that you're facing? Are you living by fear, or are you living by faith? And throughout today's message, I want to encourage all of us to live by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So my challenge for you today, no matter your age, what you're going through in your life, I want to challenge all of us. We don't want to live by fear. We want to live by faith. So I've titled today's message, "How Must I Live in This Wicked World?" And throughout the message, I want to encourage us to live by faith, and I want to share three reasons to live by faith. Three reasons to live by faith. So what's reason number one? First, live by faith because of God's plan. Live by faith because of God's plan. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 6. Let me read verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yes, his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. To keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And that completes chapter 6. So what's going on in this passage? God has a plan for Noah and his family. He's to do what? He's to build this ark, this giant boat. And for many of us, it's hard to understand because they're talking about cubits. Well, what does all that mean? Basically, the size of this ark, the size of this boat, just imagine this, football season, you're watching the Houston Texans play. It was a little bit bigger than the football field where the Houston Texans play. And it was about four stories high. Now, for many of us, this is hard for us to imagine. So let me try to make this very real life and think about what you do in this situation. But imagine, it's never rained before. Now, for those of us that live in Houston, this is hard for us to understand. But Noah and his family, the people on the earth, had never, ever seen rain before. And God wants to save Noah and his family, protect them and save them, because he's going to destroy the earth. It's never rained before, but floodwaters are going to come on the earth. And what's going to happen? God is going to use this ark, this giant boat, to save them. Now, the best way I can imagine this, to put it in language we can understand, is imagine that We all go down to the Home Depot on Fry Road and the Feeder Road on I-10. We talk to the manager and we order every single power saw tool we can order. We clear the place of all the lumber. We buy every single hammer in the store, all of the nails, and then we move all of this into the parking lot at Walmart on Fry Road. Now imagine that I'm just there and you happen to be going to Walmart on Fry Road before work or after work. You just got to pick up some groceries. And you see me there all alone with my hammer, with my nails, with lumber stretching from one parking lot side to the other side, and there I am. It's never rained before, and I'm starting to build this giant boat. What would you do? Now, don't say this out loud, but what would you do? Some of you would come up and say, "Hey, Jeff, how's it going? I'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday." Some of you would walk right past me pretending, "I don't know that guy. This is weird. He's building a boat. It has never once rained throughout human history. This guy is crazy. He's building this giant boat. It's never rained before." And yet that's the world that Noah was living in. It probably seemed crazy. And yet he's living by faith. Because why? God has a plan. God has a plan for Noah in building this ark. God has a plan for Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down for 141 years, and God gives Nehemiah a vision, a plan to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and he rebuilds it in 52 days. God has a plan for the temple, and he uses King Solomon to build the temple. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here today. You feel like, what's going on in my life? My life is filled with chaos. There's confusion in my life. I want to encourage you. God has a plan for your life. I love the great evangelist, Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, that developed the four spiritual laws. One of the laws, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, think about it in the context of your life. Maybe you're here today, you're saying, "You know what, Jeff, my life right now is filled with chaos. There's confusion. I don't know what direction to go in my life. My life is filled with turmoil." I want to encourage you. Jeremiah 29:11 speaks to you. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I want to encourage you. Your life is not accidental. It's not coincidental. God has a plan for your life. So I want to encourage us. Live by faith because of God's plan. And secondly, live by faith because of God's provision. Live by faith because of God's provision. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made.' And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, 2 by 2 they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was in the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased in the earth. And the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps in the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils were the breath of life, of spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things, which on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air, they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed in the earth 150 days. So what do we see here? God has a plan for Noah. God not only has a plan, he also does what? He provides for Noah. And this is a timeless principle, true for every single child of God. Maybe you're facing some great need in your life. You're struggling right now. There's some need in your life. And you think to yourself, I have a great need. How is this going to be met? I want to encourage every single Christian, every single child of God, no matter what your need is, no matter how great you think it is, I want to encourage every single Christian. This is a great message from the Word of God. What does Paul say? And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know what that means for every Christian? There's not a need here today that Jesus Christ is not able to meet. God is able to meet your needs. You may think this need is impossible to be met. It's a spiritual need or a social need, a financial need. But again, I want to encourage you from the Word of God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let me illustrate for my own life. When I was 22 years old, I graduated from college in Chicago. I left the wilderness and I came to the promised land, the great state of Texas. I was coming here to seminary. And I was pastoring a Christian and Missionary Alliance church in Fort Worth. And the problem in this church was they had this big crack on the side of the building. It looked like a Taco Bell, and it needed to be fixed. So I challenged the board, let's fast and pray for $10,000 because that's what it was going to take to get fixed. Well, we started fasting, we started praying on Wednesdays. And a few months later, the district superintendent gave me a call and he met me for lunch at a Cracker Barrel and he told me that a group of people wanted to give $39,000 to the church that I was pastoring. That was more than enough to fix the wall, and it was a great lesson of how God is a God of provision. God is a God that can provide for our needs, no matter from a human standpoint of how helpless we feel or how hopeless the situation is, and maybe that's where you are today. You have some need in your life and your family. You have some need in your life when it comes to your job. You have some need in your life that maybe it's to embarrassing. You haven't discussed it with anyone. God knows. He cares. Not only does he know and he care, but you know what? He is able and he will supply your needs. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He was, is, and always will be the God of provision for his children. Amen? I want to encourage us. Live by faith because of God's plan. Secondly, live by faith because of God's provision. And finally, live by faith because of God's promise. Live by faith because of God's promise. Look in your Bibles at chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1, all the way down to verse 17. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. But as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." Again God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Let's stop right there. So what do we see? God's promise. His promise is the rainbow. It's a promise that he's never again going to destroy the entire earth by flood waters. Now, this passage is very significant in a lot of ways. Think about it. Before Genesis 9, verse 3, when Noah and his wife came home from church, they went to soup and salad to eat. But after Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, Buffalo Wild Wings is now fair game. Texas Roadhouse is now fair game. Spring Creek Barbecue is now fair game. And by the way, I do accept gift cards to all of those restaurants. But this is significant. Genesis 9, verse 3. You know what that means? That means before Genesis 9, verse 3, everyone was a vegetarian. But after Genesis 9, verse 3, now we're permitted to eat meat. Amen? The next time you bite into that brat, the next time you bite into that double bacon cheeseburger, remember Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. Before, everyone was a vegetarian. Now they're free to eat, as the scripture says, "I have given you all things." This is significant. But what's the big idea in this passage? God's promise. I believe there are needs here today, and God has a promise for you. Maybe you're here today, you're feeling like, I've just messed up. How could anyone love me? I feel so alone in my life. I want to encourage you, God has a promise for you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age, period. I want to encourage you as a Christian, Jesus will never leave you. You may feel all alone, but you're not alone. Or maybe you're here today, and through some work-related stress or family conflict, you feel absolutely overwhelmed. You have a difficult time shutting down your mind at night, a difficult time sleeping, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you would say, you know what, I just feel overwhelmed in my life right now. I want to encourage you. God is the God that can give you rest. You know what the Bible says? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, period. You know what that means? We come to Christ just as we are. Jesus, I'm struggling with this anxiety at work. I'm struggling with my family conflict. I'm weary, I'm burdened, I'm stressed out. I come to you just as I am, and you promise to give me rest. Or maybe you're here today, you're facing some difficulty, some obstacle in your life. There's a promise for you. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So maybe you're facing some difficulty in your life. You feel like there's no way I can get past this. There's no way I can get through this. What does the scripture say? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So if you're here today and you're hearing those lies in your mind, you'll never get through this. There's no hope for you. There's no way out of this situation. That's not true. Remember what the Bible says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Or maybe you're facing a difficult situation in your life and a situation that's embarrassing to you. You've told no one about it and you think to yourself, no one knows about it. I want to encourage you, God knows. And not only does he know, the Bible says that for every Christian, Jesus Christ is praying for you. So you may be facing some difficulty in your life. You've told no one about it. And you think, no one's praying for me. I want to encourage you, for the Christian, Jesus Christ is praying for you. And the Bible says that in Romans. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. That means that no matter what you're going through as a Christian, Jesus Christ is praying for you. Amen? Those are just a few of the promises, but from the Word of God, there are over 31,000 verses in the Bible. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 22. In over 31,000 verses in the Bible, there are over 8,000 promises. Promises that relate directly to your life and exactly what you're going through. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, live by faith because of God's promise. I titled today's message, How Must I Live in This Wicked World? It's very easy to live by fear. But I want to encourage us, today's a new day. Maybe it's a new day in your Christian life. Live by faith. And I shared three reasons why. First, live by faith because of God's plan. Secondly, live by faith because of God's provision. And finally, live by faith because of God's promise. As I looked at Noah's life, I was thinking, you know, Noah has something in common with the city of Houston. You both know about flooding. Now, here's my question. How will you deal with the floods of life? How will you live in this wicked world? I want to encourage us not to live by fear, but to live by faith. Have you ever come to that place in your life you've placed your faith only in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you've admitted that you're a sinner, You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Only his shed blood can wash away your sins. You've called on Jesus for salvation, and you've decided to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. I want to give us an opportunity to respond. I'm not going to embarrass you or call out your name or call you forward, but with all eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe you're saying, you know what? I've never called on Jesus for salvation, but today I want him to save me. I want to call on him for salvation. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. So applicational, so relevant. Some of us have been living our lives in fear. We confess that. We repent from that. And we choose, with the strength of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, from this day forward, to live by faith. Help us to be a congregation that is marked and characterized by living by faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.